Welcome back to Backstage, where we talk about what's going on behind the scenes here at Relay FM and share our knowledge to help you start a podcast of your very own. I am Relay co-founder Mike Hurley, and I am joined by Relay co-founder Stephen Hackett. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Mike.
I thought about co-co-foundering you, but decided against it.
No, yeah, the co-co-founder sounds step down.
It's like Cocoa Pops.
What's going on at Relay?
So we just finished the... last month we finished our annual bonus specials, which was we spoke about this last time. I think the first time that we've done these earlier in the year, and don't know about you, but it felt like a great success to me. It was much nicer to focus on those things, get them out of the way, and then move into WWDC rather than overlapping them with WWDC and then publishing during the podcast-a-thon season.
That was a wild time. I'm really glad we decided to move it. It makes much more sense now, and I think it lets everybody enjoy things year-round, you know, as opposed to having all the goodies in the fall. Mm-hmm. Why should the fall get everything? That's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't know.
What's your favorite season?
Oh, probably spring. It's either spring or autumn,
okay,
because that's the kind of weather I like.
Yeah, like warm in the day, but still cool at night kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think it depends year on year as to whether spring or autumn is better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably autumn, really.
Yeah. I'm a big...
It's more like a winter.
I'm a big autumn boy.
Oh. That's good to know.
I like big leaf piles, and I cannot lie.
Okay. What else have you got going on?
We survived WWDC.
Yep.
Come and gone. We had a cool interview on Mac Power Users about shortcuts for Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just beta season for a while.
Summer of fun.
Summer of fun. When does it start?
Spoilers, I guess. It depends on when we'll publish this. Probably next week.
Okay. Yes, this will go out this week.
Okay. I mean, we'll probably say on upgrade today that it starts next week. So.
Yeah, today is June 21st, to put some context into whatever just happened.
Yeah. I wanted to push it out as far as possible before beginning, because we have no idea how long it's going to last again, right? Like, I have no idea... and it kind of felt, I was like wondering like, oh, will there be more news to talk about like this week? The answer was no. Mm-hmm. So Summer of Fun will begin next week. Cause I can't imagine it's going to improve now.
You can talk about the new Ted Lasso trailer. It looks really good.
Oh, don't worry. We will. I mean, honestly, we are really veering off course now.
Yeah.
We need to bring this show back onto, onto the plan.
Okay. So a lot of the episodes of Backstage have been me answering questions, but today it's your turn in the hot seat, Mr.
I'm not sure if that's entirely true. I feel like we've been pretty well balanced. I'm not sure where this has come from.
Mr. I talked about microphones for like 4 hours.
Yeah, sure. All right. Well, today we're going to begin one of multiple episodes about monetization. It was, I guess, foolish of me to assume that we could do monetization in one episode. I think we got more questions about this than we've gotten on a topic in a while. And I want to talk about that like whole idea itself probably next time. Like the fact that we got so many questions about monetization, I think says a bad thing about monetization as a topic when it comes to creative work. But we're going to talk about that next time. So, or maybe the time after that. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. Today, we're going to talk about advertising. We're also going to talk about membership and direct support, and also some bigger picture stuff about like if and how and when, or even if people should think about making podcasts or any creative work or money-making endeavor, and if we believe it's actually still possible to do this if you're starting out now. This could potentially be 3 episodes. So what I'll suggest is if you have questions about those, so direct support, membership, and also kind of bigger picture stuff about monetization and creative work, you can continue to send those questions in. We'll remind you at the end, but you can send them in on Twitter with hashtag AskBackstage. In the Discord with *AskBackstage, which is probably the best way because you can be unlimited in character limit pretty much, or you can email them to backstage@relay.fm. So do you want to start asking me questions about advertising?
I do.
The reason that obviously I'm taking is advertising is kind of my world.
Yeah.
So next time when we talk about membership and direct support, there'll be more of Stephen's questions because he runs that part of the business.
So Sam asked, Now, as an established network, what's the balance between you approaching advertisers and advertisers approaching you? Has this differed from where you first started? Like, has it changed over time, I guess?
So I think this is something that fluctuates throughout the year typically, but it's also something that's changed in the last year a bit more. So we do and kind of have always reached out to companies if we come across a company that we feel could be a good fit, whether, you know, it's something that is new to us, a new service or something that we started using and think, hey, you know, we like this, we think our listeners might like this. Or if potentially, you know, myself or Carrie, who is our advertising sales manager, if she notices something like a sponsor on another show or something, like, oh, I know they would be good for us too. If this company's getting into podcast advertising, we should try and get in contact with them. And so we'll reach out to companies, but we've done a bit more of this over the past year than we had, say, in 2019 into 2020. And that's just because we've had a lot of fluctuations in the advertisers that we're working with. Some people have pulled out. Some people maybe don't have a marketing team anymore. I don't know, right? Like, there's a lot of companies have gone through a lot of change. So with that, we've had to adjust a little bit. But we do get a lot of inbound requests, which was not something that happened for a long time after we started the company.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we get every day, on average, we'll get one or two, you know, and then some days we get lots, some days we get none, but kind of on average, you know, we'll get a multiple handful of those a week. Some of them pan out, most of them don't. Either it's a product or service we're not interested in, or we just can't come to an arrangement. But it's a mix. It's definitely a mix. I think, you know, of the emails sent, inbounds tend to be better than outbound, right? Like, we get more business from an inbound because that person already wants to do it. And with outbound contacting, you know, there's hurdles you have to jump through. So that's kind of how that works. It's a mixture.
Yeah, I remember getting the first cold email that approached us. I was like, oh, look at this.
Yeah, for a while we would try and, I don't know, encourage those.
Yeah.
But ultimately this feels like a fruitless endeavor. Like, and I think over time people just find us on Google, or, you know, some of our shows are listed in lists of top tech podcasts.
Yeah.
And so there's two or three shows that practically every inbound request goes to. Like, you know, they'll say like, hey, inbound request for insert podcast name here. And the funny thing is, like, it's not any of the shows you'd expect, really, on that list. It's just this is the way that some lists picked up our shows, and then people Google for this, and then they find a show, and then they'll contact us about that show. But really, what that is that person just wants to be involved in tech podcasting. So very frequently, we'll put them on the show that they contacted about because they're good shows, and then we can add in some other ones as well.
All right. Up next, we have a question from Rob. Rob asks, do you bundle your shows in terms of ad sales, or does each show stand alone?
Yes. It's like a mixture. So we sell single shows, we sell multiple shows, and on occasion make packages of shows. You know, so someone may just want a show for a particular reason. It's usually more than one spot, but not always. We typically try and recommend people take more than one spot. Like, that's just... it helps to have a repetition over a period of time. Mm-hmm. You know, we've just found over time that's had more success. But more typically, we will sell more than one show. So, you know, like, we'll make a bunch of selections, or somebody will have a type of listener they're trying to attract, and we'll make some recommendations for who we think might fit based on what we have available. But then on occasion, and this is kind of like very occasional, we could make packages of shows, you know, so like, if you want to get in front of these kinds of people, you can select these amount of shows. But typically it's either single or multiple shows on an ad hoc basis.
T asks, have you ever thought about asking Squarespace to sponsor a podcast?
Waka waka. Here we go. Joke time. I hear this joke a lot. And the thing is, Squarespace now have been supporting shows that we have both been on every week for over 10 years. That is not an exaggeration. Like, I have had a Squarespace ad on a show that I have been on for 10 years, and there's probably at least one a week. But even if it's not one a week, it's a 10-year thing, right? If you stop using the codes, they will stop sponsoring the shows. So while you may have heard that an ad for a company lots of times, I think it's pretty clear that we have enough people that are still hearing the ads. Like, I see this comment a lot about some of the more prolific sponsors. Like, there's no way that can be working. These companies track this stuff really strongly. And I know, like, a number of years ago, my contact at Squarespace told us that Relay FM was one of their best performing partners still, after having worked with us for years at that point. So I get the joke. I understand that there are some ads that you hear a bunch. And the thing is, you have my blessing. If you've heard the ad a bunch of times, and either A, you already are a customer of the company, or B, you're like, I don't want this now, you can just skip through it. But just when you do want to get a Squarespace website, come back and use one of our codes. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, don't stop making websites. Please keep making websites.
Yeah.
And keep making Squarespace websites, because I don't want that to go away.
They have a award-winning customer service 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Which quickly and easily grab a unique domain name. I could do that ad read.
Do you want to try? I was about to suggest, we haven't got the copy in front of us right now. Do you want me to see how far I can go?
Yeah, see how far you can go.
Sorry for the free ad. This will probably be fun. I don't know. I mean, this isn't going to be the word for word, but like, can I do just an ad with no copy, right?
Yeah.
This episode of Backstage is brought to you by Squarespace. If you're looking to start your next project online, there is nowhere better than Squarespace. They have absolutely everything that you're going to need to make the website that you want, to get your project out there, to get your business out there, maybe to publish a blog post. What about to publish some of your work in one of their wonderful gallery templates that they can offer for you? One of the great things about Squarespace is there's nothing to install, there's nothing to patch, there's nothing to upgrade, and they back up everything with award-winning 24/7 customer support. They really are the very best place to put your project online. Squarespace have been around for so long now, and they really do a great job. Their templates are award-winning, they're beautifully designed, and you're able to just drag and drop tools, customize that website to make it really look your best. Sign up right now, and then there we go, the rest. So that's pretty good. I think that would pass the test.
It's pretty good. You didn't mention that they let you easily grab a unique domain name.
Yeah. That's true. I didn't say about commerce either, I don't think.
Yeah. I'll give you like a 9 out of 10, though. It's pretty good.
All right. Well, that's pretty high, actually. That's higher than I thought you were going to give me.
Zach asks, how do you balance advertising a product or service and personally endorsing or recommending it, even within the ad segment? Do you try to have experience with the products you advertise before you promote them?
So many of the companies that we work with want our hosts to say something about the product or service, and this is that personal endorsement. We ask hosts if they're happy to do it, and they get the chance to try out the product or listen to the podcast or whatever before they read the ad. And if there's an issue, we'll either try and resolve the issue, answer a question, or we wouldn't move ahead with the ad, we'd cancel it out. Ultimately, though, we work with companies that make the kinds of things we're interested in, products and services that we like, because every podcast ad sounds like a personal endorsement. They just do, because I am reading you the thing, or Steven's reading you the thing, or Simone's reading you the thing. So you just think that if it's coming out of our mouths, we're just saying it to you, right? Mm-hmm. We're telling you about it. You know, like, I think it's perfectly fine in an advertising copy for something to say, like, stuff like, oh, it's beautiful and it's fantastic and it's, you know, it's super easy to use. Like, they're all perfectly fine marketing things, but if I say them to you, it sounds like I'm telling you that, right? So for this reason, we work with companies that we are interested in working with, and we turn down so many that don't match this for this reason. Because if I have an ad for something, or if I have like some copy for something and I'm like, I don't know, then we won't do it. Because if I feel that way, I feel embarrassed saying it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's rarely an issue for us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because you and Carrie do such a good job on the front end that's not really an issue.
Well, it's also as well, I think we have more discerning listeners, so we can't really get away with it.
Right.
even if we were the type of people that wanted to. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, so for example, we had a sports betting company that's really been wanting to work with us. And it's just not a thing I want to do. Like, I can't imagine confidently talking about that stuff.
Yeah, same.
No. We had an ad for a sports betting company very early on in our kind of makeup as a company. And it was a very unfortunate situation that we couldn't get out of because of a bad contract. That's as much as I can say about that. And I regret to this day doing that. I have no issue with sports betting as a thing and people doing it. I just don't want to read ads for that type of thing. So we don't.
Matt asks, could you talk, vaguely of course, about a time where you had to part ways with a sponsor due to misaligned values?
We've never had to do this in the way that you might think. So we have never had to my knowledge, cancel an agreement with a company because of something that they've done, which we think didn't fit with our values. We have had renewal agreements that we walked away from. And so, and, you know, like if there would have been like deals in place, we would have canceled them, but we've never had to do that. And it's also one of those things, I just like, again, I want to just kind of make this kind of thing clear. It could be pretty tricky. So there are contracts, and contracts have cancellation clauses.
Right.
So if a company does do something that's not egregious, but it's like something we don't like, if we have a deal in place, we kind of have to run them for a like whatever the contract period ends for, like for. There isn't really a lot you can do. You know, like the contracts have language in them and do of like if you do something like egregiously bad, we can cancel it out. But that stuff's difficult to come to an agreement on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there are some stuff you can say, it's like, oh, that's easy to get rid of. But other stuff is not so easy to get rid of. So we've been lucky that we haven't, I don't think we found ourselves in this kind of situation before. I'm sure that everybody's thinking of a sponsor that, you know, there are a few, right? That would be like, oh, but what about them? But I can almost guarantee you, we didn't have advertising for those companies after those issues occurred. And it was just really out of luck that we weren't in any existing agreements. And then when they come up for renewals, we just said, I think we're gonna take a break on this.
All right, another one from Zach. How do you deal with potential topic conflicts with a scheduled sponsor? For example, Apple releases a mattress that you're talking about on an episode sponsored by a different mattress company. What would an Apple mattress be like?
I haven't got any good jokes for that.
I don't either. I was hoping you would.
Made of aluminium.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, what do you want? What were you expecting? I think it's pretty rare that we would have a situation like this. But if we did, the first thing that I would try to do is move that sponsor to another episode. Mm-hmm. Because, it just feels weird to have a kind of a weird mixture. And like similarly, we'll sometimes move sponsors that they're not in like the same business, but it just seems strange to have them on the same episode, so we kind of move stuff around for those reasons. Because look, obviously, right, we the deals that we do with companies, like if you've got company A and company B and they sell a similar product, they're not going to be on the same episode anyway,
right?
So from an advertising perspective, that's easy to deal with. But from a topic perspective, can't recall issues that we've had, but we would try and move them, and if we can't move them, we'd roll with it. We've had sponsors in the past where I have had to tell them that the shows that they're on may feature discussions of similar topic areas, and that's just kind of the way that goes, right? Like, for example, if a tech company tried to sponsor us for something, or even so we've had the Microsoft has sponsored us with some of their podcasts, right?
Right.
They know that, well, not only is tech going to come up, you might come up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of the way that goes, you know, and because it isn't like quote unquote Microsoft and their products, I think it fits fine. It's just like, we're going to talk to you about Teams, and like, we never talk about those types of services anyway, you know, but that's kind of the way that we deal with that. We would try our best, I think, to make it not feel awkward. And if it has to, it has to, but up front, we kind of tell people this is what we're going to do. And again, similarly, we've turned down sponsorships from companies for this reason. Like, you know, for example, we'd never take a sponsorship from Apple, right?
Right.
Like, we'd just never do that because there's just no way to deal with that cleanly because we're just too, it's too intertwined at that point.
you know, I come from a background like editorial and advertising are like totally separate, right? It's like what they teach in journalism school or whatever. And obviously that's difficult in a company as small as ours, but I think you really hit the nail on the head that like we're very aware of the players in our industry. And if we do enter some sort of agreement with them, like Microsoft or Red Hat or somebody, then they're aware that of what we do, right? Because it's just us handling all of it.
Yeah, this is why actually that idea of the separation of church and state wouldn't work for us. Because if there was a complete separation between content and advertising, we would have way more of these conflicts. Like, one of the ways that we don't have too many of these kinds of issues is because some of the people involved in the advertising also make content. So, like, we can see where there would be those conflicts. Like, if we just had an ad team, right?
Right.
And that ad team just randomly booked stuff in.
Yeah, I could get out of hand.
Yeah, because, like, for example, like, Carrie is less plugged into this world than I am. And there's stuff that she'll bring to me, and I'll be like, we can't do that, or we can't place that on that show for these reasons, right? Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't involved in that, and we had, like, six people with a kind of, like, a mostly tangential or, like, somewhat, you know, like the kind of more casual interest, it could be like, oh, this seems like a good fit, but then it wouldn't work. Like, for example, like another example is, and I have this issue. We'll have companies that want to sponsor Mac Power users, right? And we get a lot of software companies want to sponsor Mac Power users. And when those come in, I don't really know if this is considered like a good Mac company, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I always just, we'll just send them to you or David and be like, well, what do you think? Right. And a lot of the time, like, oh, no, we can't do that for this reason. Or like, this company is not seen as a good player for these reasons.
Right.
Right. And it's like a similar thing where like, it's just a layer into it that I don't know about. Like, mm-hmm. I see it and I'm like, oh, that seems like it would be good. But then you're like, yeah. No, I saw this post on our forums and then people were saying how bad it was and blah, yeah. blah, blah.
You know? In fact, we recently just went through that with somebody.
That's what we think of it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It happens. Like,
yeah.
These companies, they're not necessarily that there's anything wrong with them. They just, a lot of the time what we tell people is it's not that there's an issue with the company or there's an issue with their product, but we just know that for some reason it wouldn't sit very well with the audience, and then that company's just wasting their money.
And we are bringing pain on ourselves at the same time.
Yeah. No, but or like sometimes there are things where, like taking that another step, like we'll get companies contact us and it's like small indie developer who makes an application that does this and they want to sponsor the show or a show. And in a lot of instances, we'll turn people down because it's like, look, you have an app that's paid up front and it's $10 paid up front. And whilst it looks really nice, we don't think that you would generate enough return from this particular ad to make it worth your while. And then we will just not do it. Like, we don't want to, like, rob people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there are instances where it's like, oh, this is a perfect fit. We think this is going to do really well. But there are other times where it's like, this is a really nice-looking piece of software or whatever, but we just don't think you'll get enough customers. So, and these are things we've learned over time from doing these kinds of arrangements. And we'll talk to companies afterwards and they'll be like, no, it didn't really work for me. And then that's just like another thing that we learn.
Matt asks, how do you handle divvying up monetization between hosts, guests, network costs, and other fixed costs?
So the network receives a fixed percentage from advertising. This is agreed up front when a show joins the network. It doesn't change after that period. We're not going to share what that number is because it's not our information to share, really, because it also impacts the hosts. This covers all the costs for a show, as well as paying us for arranging the advertising, right? So, like, whilst it is, we're going to take this cut because we got the ad for you, it also covers any cost related to the show. So if there's an editor, we pay for the editor, all the hosting's paid for, CMS is paid for, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As a note on that, if a show doesn't have advertising, they don't pay for that stuff. We still pay for it. Rising tides kind of situation.
Yeah.
The hosts of a show tell us what the percentage split between the hosts will be. We don't work that out. So we'll say to the hosts, all right, so from the amount of money that's left, how does the split look like? You know, it might be 50-50, it might be 60-40, it might be 70-30, depending on who's doing more of the work or whatever, right? Guests typically don't get compensated, but that's up to each show to decide upon themselves. I don't know what everybody's rules are, but that doesn't come from us.
Oh, like, I know the shows I do, guests are not compensated. Like, if you come on NPU, you just coming out with us.
I've never been compensated for being a guest on anything. Like, you're doing it to either promote yourself on another show, or you're just doing it to be a good member of the community or whatever. But I've never been compensated for being a guest on anything, and neither have I compensated people.
Next time I'm on one of your shows, I'll invoice you.
Good luck getting on.
I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
If you have additional questions about any of this stuff, like, feel free to send those in, as well as questions about direct support. You can tweet at us with the hashtag AskBackstage. You can use ? AskBackstage in the Relay FM members Discord, or you can email them to backstage@relay.fm. Until next time, when we ask you to come backstage with us, I'm Mike Hurley and he's Stephen Hackett. Say goodbye, Stephen.
Bye, y'all.